call to order the January 8, 2013 Special Magistrate Proceedings for the City of Daytona Beach. I have reviewed the minutes of our December 11, 2012 meeting, have approved them, and have executed them. Are there any announcements I need to be aware of before we proceed to today's agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. Vakelja. We have three cases that are in compliance that are not showing on the agenda currently. Case number 5, SMG 12-1280 for 507 Fifth Avenue is in compliance as of January 4th. Case number 7, SMG 01-1302 for 1328 Margina Avenue is in compliance as of January 7th. And case number 8, SMG 01-1303 is in compliance as of January 7th also.
Very good. Well, which representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings, please step forward and respond.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the truth and nothing but the truth?
All right, case number 1, Daytona Pit Stop, 42 South Flanagan Avenue. Will you respond?
Yes.
State your name, please, in the microphone.
My name is Charlie Fedida.
Can you raise your right hand?
Charlie Fedida. Charlie.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, appeal of denial of temporary promotional activity permit based upon the order of noncompliance issued by the Code Enforcement Board on December 19, 2012, requested by Charlie Fedida. All right, let me hear from the city first.
Officer Clay, Code Enforcement, City of Daytona Beach. This case is, I've had in the last 4 or 5 years, I had five cases against this business, four of which this present owner is the current business owner of it. It started on 2/12/09. My sergeant and myself observed him having outside sales activities. He did not have a TPA permit. He went down and got one, TPA number 682-790. And then on 6/12/2010, the gentleman was having outside sales activity, at which time I cited him on a notice, of a handwritten notice of violation. If you'd like to see it, it's right here. And also on 4/10/12, he was issued a verbal warning. He had outside sales activity, which I got a copy of the picture here, and I gave him a verbal warning at which he removed items. And then finally on 11/10/2012, in which I brought him in front of the Code Enforcement Board, he again was having sales activity outside of his business. He was his employee was issued a handwritten notice of violation, at which time he removed items.
He has applied for a temporary promotional activity permit.
I'm sorry, sir.
He's applied for a temporary promotional activity permit, which has been denied?
No, sir.
Well, maybe I'm misreading. This is appeal of denial of temporary promotional activity permit. So who's appealing what here?
I was here last month, and because I was fined in non-compliance, they told me I wouldn't be able to apply for a temporary promotional activity for race week and bike week. So I was told that I can come in front of you, sir, and apply, I guess, for the appeal, is that to be able to conduct my business. So when I apply for the TPA that comes in February for the race and bike week and Biketoberfest, so I won't be denied. So to get an authorization.
TPAs typically request?
I'm requesting the TPAs for race week, Daytona 500.
I heard that part.
Bike week.
The question is, are these applications typically submitted?
You're allocated 20 days a year, so whichever 20 days you as a business owner select to do, you can. It just can't be a week before or a week after a major event period as designated by the mayor.
Okay. So he can make this request whenever he wants, and he designates whatever days he wants his temporary permit application.
Correct.
And so he has not formally submitted a TPA permit. What's the document by
right.
which you ask for
it's
this?
It's a TPA. You fill it out, and then it's either authorized or denied based on some criteria relative to the Land Development Code. However, a determination was made by the city attorney, which I thought we got in writing about that. I'm sorry. I didn't bring it. Isn't this the question you said, didn't he have to apply for the TPA first? And the city attorney said that you don't have to apply for the TPA to be denied. He's not going to be allocated a TPA for 3 years because of the finding of noncompliance pursuant to the Land Development Code unless you approve this appeal.
Unless I approve this appeal.
Yes, sir.
This appeal of an application that hasn't been made yet, but it's been discussed.
Just to explain you, sir, our business, as you know, economy is very bad. We're struggling. And if I have no TPA for the time of the race week and bike week and Biketoberfest and all this, those events, my business is basically out of business. I'm a family father of kids and all this, and I just...
Well, first off, Tony, this does look strikingly similar to the other case, other than some different factual questions, because ultimately the question is the same, which is this three-year ban. This is now all of a sudden coming to the forefront. And to be perfectly honest, it's coming to the forefront in kind of an awkward manner. We discussed it somewhat with regard to the matter of Florida Pacific Leasing Company, I think when we were here last month, and I was pretty well satisfied that any discussion regarding the severity of the sanction was premature at that point in time. Because at that point in time, the only issue was whether or not there was compliance or noncompliance. And then after that determination was made, we would then move on to the topic of the sanction. And at that point in time, I was to consider the severity of the sanction vis-a-vis the nature of the violation. I don't have the regulations before me right now, but as I recall, that's the way they read or something to that effect. So, as far as the, and I hate to keep harkening back to that other case, but it seems to me these things are before me right now. So, as far as the Florida Pacific Leasing Company case was concerned, the next step in the process was going to be the sanction phase, at which there would be new issues to be addressed and new evidence to be presented. Okay? Now, this gentleman's here finding himself pretty much in the same position and totally unprepared for what I'm going to want to see. So I'm going to do everybody here a favor and alert everyone as to what I need to see in order to fully address the next step in this process. You were about to tell me how devastating this is going to be to your business if you're not allowed to participate. All right, that's going to go to the severity of the sanction. And you're here right now. And the issue is the severity of the sanction. And I didn't know we were going to be doing that today, but we are. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to continue the hearing on your matter, and you are going to come back at the next meeting. And the issue that I'm going to want you to address is you are going to present to me financially what the loss of these TPAs would actually mean to your business. Okay? Now, you may not be a lawyer, and unfortunately I am. But if I were in your shoes, I'd be bringing me a tax return. I'd be bringing me financial statements. I would be showing me sales records. I would be saying, Mr. DeKalchuk, without the temporary permit, this is what I make. And if you multiply that by 12, I'm here to tell you I'm not going to survive. With the temporary permit, this is what I make. That temporary permit is essential to my survival. Whether I'm going to grant it or not, I don't know, but I'm going to let you know. That's the information I'm interested in. Because, and I'm not trying to be critical, and I didn't mean to cut you off or be abrupt, I don't want any more generalities about how devastating it's going to be if you don't get this or you don't get that. It's time for me to start seeing the details because I'm literally anticipating when we come into these things from here on out, when we get to the sanction phase, which is where we are now, some of you be able to articulate to me the actual financial impact, because only then will I be able to gauge whether this three-year ban that we just here referred to globally is going to be overkill vis-a-vis the nature of the violation. I will still be considering the nature of the violation. Make no mistake about that. But if we're going to, you know, but now that I have, you are now my second case in this area, and I'm letting you know both are in the same posture. We're now getting ready to move into the sanction phase, and that's the information I'm going to walk through. So, unless there's some prejudice to you conducting your appeal a month from now, I would suggest we continue this matter to the next meeting so that you can make that kind of a presentation to me.
Sure. The next meeting is when?
When's the next meeting?
February 12th.
Is that far enough in advance to enable him to participate in these events that he's wanting to participate in?
I'm not sure when the 500 is.
Yes, I think, I believe so.
Because it's not, we have a special meeting for this very purpose.
Thank you.
I'm not telling anybody what I'm doing one way or the other, but I'm at least going to make the time available because I've been told this is, has a significant impact on business owners, so I will make the time available to hear this in advance.
But
I'm alerting everybody that that's the information I need because I don't want us to be addressing these topics in a haphazard manner anymore because I understand they're significant.
We do have a special meeting scheduled for January 22nd currently for master plan appeals. If you wanted to continue it to that date.
That's fine. How about January 22nd?
You'll know that day. If your appeal is approved, then you'll be able to pull TPA. So that's January 22nd works for you?
The January 12th is fine with me because I think...
No, that's February 12th.
Oh, sorry, February.
That's
January 22nd.
Right, what they're telling you is we already have a special meeting set on an analogous situation on this very topic for January 22nd.
Okay.
So I don't know what dates you have chosen, so I'm going to let you choose. You can either be heard on January 22nd or at our next meeting.
It's fine. January 22nd is fine, sir.
Which would be February 12th.
January 22nd is fine.
Mr. Vakalja, before we end on this issue, if I can... I don't want to make any argument. I'm not intending to do that.
I want to emphasize something here. I want both sides prepared. You know, unfortunately, this process doesn't lend itself to people actually coming in fully prepared to state their case. And we have a lot of laymen who, you know, aren't all that familiar with what they should or should not be presenting. And I want the city to be fully prepared, too. So if you got questions, I don't care if it's argument or what, come here.
Yeah, Mr. McCutcheon, what I'd like to do is, here's a copy of the... criteria. I don't think it was fair for you to have you making those determinations without
the copy of the criteria. I don't necessarily agree with your perspective, but at this point, it's nothing I'm arguing. I just would like to make sure you have that and have that available.
So what's your point?
No.
Let's not force around here. What's your point?
I don't know when you're saying you're weighing the gravity. I mean, the gravity is important, but weighing it against the economic impact, I don't know if that's really what that's saying or if that's a fair interpretation of what you're doing. And when we're calling it a penalty phase, I don't agree that it's a penalty phase. We're in a completely different phase, a different arena. We've left the code enforcement action. The code enforcement action has ended, and now we proceeded on a separate action, which is a review of denials, whether those are TPA denials or denials for master plan denials. And that's an independent review of a magistrate, which you've been appointed as the magistrate to review those, but you're reviewing those in a separate proceeding in my perspective. It's not a continuation of the initial code proceeding. And so I just wanted to make that clear, at least from my perspective. I don't believe it's a continuation of the initial code proceeding, but a separate review.
So it's your contention the 3-year ban is automatic unless I determine that requirement be waived for good cause. And good cause for what I hear you say, what I'm hearing you say, would include the gravity of the violation. And I guess what I'm hearing you say is nowhere within Section 2.111 is there any reference to financial hardship constituting good cause.
That's correct.
I just want wanted to hear that come out of your mouth. Okay, very good. All right, well, whatever. I still want to hear what I want to hear, and we'll see you on January 27th.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm not very familiar with all how these things work and all this. Can I bring my lawyer?
Absolutely, you can bring your lawyer, and I would suggest to you that if this is important to you,
yes, very, very.
It would be a pretty good idea.
Yes, even though it's
hard to get my place to give you advice, but yes. I would think that would be
no problem.
Prudent.
Thank you very much.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, Primus Maddox. Anyone here for the respondent, Primus Maddox?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the City. This is case number SMG-101268, City of Daytona Beach versus Maddox Primus. Property address 417 Fletcher Street. Parcel ID is 523-82-4050120. The violations we're discussing were outside storage of junk and debris, dilapidated roof, exterior surfaces, and dilapidated, now missing garage door. As of yesterday, the property remains to be in non-compliance. The city is asking for $75 per day to be capped at 15.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 10, not 15.
Given the absence of the respondent, and based upon our inspector's report, and order the respondent to pay the sum of $75 per day, commencing January 2, 2013, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, where the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Case number two, Kathy D. Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning. Could you state your name, please?
Kathy Smith.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Make sure you speak into the microphone.
Thank you.
All right. This is here for the imposition of the fine. Mr. Inspector, what's the status?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Inspector employed at the City of Daytona Beach. Qualification are on file with the city. This is case number SMG-111270, City of Daytona Beach versus Kathy E. Smith. Property address is 510 Arthur Avenue. Parcel ID is 523-8180-30250. Violations currently are the permit is the only outstanding violation. She applied for it on 1-3-13, is currently under review, and the building department is requesting some corrections. The city would like to amend and amend to the next level.
Okay, what's saying, Ms. Smith? Does that sound okay to you?
I have the building permit. Is this it here? What is that?
Yes. This, what this is the application for the permit. And they're reviewing it now.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Then I will amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent to come to compliance by February 6, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Stop for a minute.
Number three, Jack Morris Jr. All right, what's in the city?
Morning. My name is John Stinson. I'm Code Enforcement Inspector employed at the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG111273, City of Daytona Beach versus Morris Jack Jr., property address 708 Kingston Avenue. Parcel ID is 533859020030. Violations that we're discussing are outside storage of junk and debris, a junk vehicle, dilapidated roof, and peeling paint. The outside storage has been removed. The dilapidated roof still remains. The junk vehicle has been removed from the city right-of-way and put in the driveway. However, it's still considered a junk vehicle. The dilapidated roof still exists, and the peeling paint still exists. The city is asking for $75 per day to be capped at $10,000 or until compliance is met.
Very good. Based on our inspector's report, I'm finding the respondents on $75 per day. That's in January 2, 2013, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Case number four, Tara Green III, LLC.
My name is Mark Dowson. I'm a project engineer with the firm Mark Dowson Associates. Our offices are located at 536 North Halifax, Daytona Beach.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, let me hear from our inspector first. What's the status of compliance?
Non-compliance at this time, and we're going to be amending, and he's going to tell you why.
All right, go ahead.
I was engaged last month to go ahead and bring the site into compliance. It's a series of potholes that needed to be fixed. We met with P&S Paving on site, obtained a proposal. That proposal has been executed. As of yesterday, they're indicating they'll probably finish it by the end of next week. And so we would ask for additional time to allow that those repairs to be completed.
How much time do you anticipate?
Well, they're telling me by the end of next week, but they're not guaranteeing it. So,
at the end of next week for what? Work to be completed?
That's correct. So if you would give us till the next magistrate's hearing, it should be done by then.
All right. Next magistrate's hearing or next magistrate's cutoff? Next magistrate's cutoff is 2-6-13. Next magistrate hearing is 2-12-13.
2-6-13 should be fine.
All right, then I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until February 6, 2013 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good to meet you.
Case number five is in compliance. Case number six, Kenneth and Emma G. Southall. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, let's say the city.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach. As a code enforcement officer, my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number SMG011301, City of Daytona Beach versus Kenneth and Emma Southall. Property address is 920 Cathy Street, Daytona Beach. Parcel ID is 5339-A1-00-1210. The violation is parking in an inoperable trailer in the street. The requirements have been met for notification. A certified mail has been sent. Green card has been signed for. All of the items, including photographs, have been labeled as exhibits and are in the case. I actually talked to this gentleman yesterday. He has not, as of yesterday, moved the trailer. He was in the process. He assured me it was going to be taken care of yesterday. I told him he didn't need to appear today, so assuming that he has done that, it'll be in compliance before the next hearing. If not, we'll see him here.
All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to commit compliance by February 6, 2013 or return to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9, Gregory F. Brown.
State your name, please.
Gregory Brown.
Do
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Brown, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance, in your opinion?
By the next cutoff.
Next cutoff would be February 6, 2013. What's saying, Mr. Brown? Do you think you can have it done by then?
Well, basically, I was trying to figure out what I needed to do, because I called the guy. He left a letter saying that if I need to find, contact him to find out what needs to be done, or they could help you or whatever.
Okay. So do we now know what we need to do?
No, not everything. I know they were saying about parking. And
well, you know as much. Well, then all I know is parking in the yard, outside storage, a junk vehicle,
right,
exterior doors, electrical fixtures.
The electrical fixture, I think it was a little box. I repaired that. And the junk vehicle, which was a car that I got rid of, is in the driveway. I got rid of the car. I got a paper here where I sold it. No.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take your word for it. What you're going to need to do is get together with Mr. Stinson. He'll explain everything that needs to be done. Sounds like you've already started to attend to these matters.
Right.
So, that having been said, just double-check with him and make sure you all are on the same page as far as the work that needs to be
done. Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. I'll order the respondent come in compliance by February 6, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
And if you start running behind for any reason, because of reasons beyond your control, get in touch with him. He'll be your best friend if you ever come back when he says, yes, I heard from Mr. Brown, and he explained to me that he was having problems.
Yes.
So stay in communication with him.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Good luck to you.
All right.
Let me call this out. Case number
about
10,
what time
Patrick
time call
James
you?
Worsham and Krista Patricia Worsham.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, first off, are these the Worshams that are the underground utility contractors?
Don't have the answer to that.
Utilities?
No idea. Doesn't matter, it's in compliance.
I represent a John and a Pat Worsham that own Worsham Underground Utilities, so I'm just letting you know in case there's a conflict there that causes anybody any concern. So do you want to proceed, or do you want somebody else to hear this?
Proceed.
Very good. All right, I don't see the Worshams here, so we'll say the city.
They are now in compliance as of 1-7-13.
They're in compliance?
Yes.
So you want me going through the whole process?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Jeff.
So if they're now in compliance before I even make a finding of non-compliance, sounds like you're announcing they're in compliance.
They are in compliance.
Okay. Was there something else you wanted?
No.
Perhaps a predicate for a will fine or something like that?
No, sir. All done.
Very good.
All done.
Sounds like number 10 is in compliance.
Yep.
Case number 11 is in compliance. Case number 12, David Maracci.
I'm showing up instead of David. I have a letter here.
All right, who are you?
I'm Haytham Norachi, his brother.
Okay.
What was your name, sir?
Haytham, Haytham.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Norachi, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
The violation, I knew about them, and I had a real estate management company trying to take care of all this from this is July, and they were charging me for all this fixing this stuff.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here. It's easier to deal with than that.
Okay.
All right, so you're telling me that you did have broken or inoperable windows, exterior doors, screens, dilapidated roof, plumbing fixtures, electrical outlets, appliances,
right,
smoke detectors, and no occupational license. that your understanding?
Yeah, I didn't know that we needed an occupational.
Hang on a second. Right. All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. All right, Mr. Inspector, how much time should reasonably be required in your opinion for the respondent to be able to come into compliance?
By the March cutoff.
Okay, the inspector is suggesting you ought to be able to have all these things rectified by March 6, 2013. What say you to that?
Yeah, I have. I'm finding a general contractor. I have estimates from them right now, and I just want to verify they are legit, because I'm having issues finding the right people to do these jobs over here, because I'm not familiar with the city.
I understand. So the question is, do you think you can have it all done by March
6th? March 6th, yes. Everything that he mentioned in this paper, correct.
All right. Well, here again, like I told the previous gentleman, if due to circumstances beyond your control, you're not able to get it done, I mean, we would like to have it done.
No, I'll get it done. It's just, as I said, the management company took care of some of the stuff, in like the broken window, but they put these stuff there saying that it's okay, but I didn't know that until he sent me another letter saying that they were new. So I went back to them and said, what's going on? And I stopped everything that they're doing. I said, I'm taking over right now.
Well, not to disrespect your management company, but his word means a lot more than the management company.
No, I understand.
What constitutes compliance.
I understand, but I thought they were taking care of it.
I understand.
They even had, occupation, whatever you call it, permit for license to, you know, so I thought everything was going smoothly.
All right, I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by March 6, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thanks.
There again, you start running short on time due to circumstances beyond your control. Keep in touch with the inspector and let him know what's going on.
All right, thanks.
We only get mad when people ignore us. No.
I'll take care of it.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Okay. That is the regular agenda. Now I have miscellaneous business. Florida Pacific Leasing Company, LLC, 316 Main Street Station.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Steve Garth. I'm with the law firm of Huebner Baggett, Upchurch & Garth. We're representing Florida Pacific Leasing Company, LLC. We have submitted a motion for reconsideration of the special magistrate's finding of noncompliance and a motion for waiver of the finding of noncompliance with respect to applying for approval for outdoor activities during future bike weeks. We have requested to be placed on this agenda in that the master plan application for outdoor activity for this coming bike week would be ruled upon. We thought it was going to be disapproved based upon the order issued by the special magistrate. However, City Attorney Hartman has issued an opinion that because the application for Bike Week 2013 was submitted prior to the special magistrate's order, that we are eligible to participate in Bike Week 2013, and the three-year period of ineligibility without a waiver would not begin until the date of the special magistrate's ruling. Therefore, the situation is not as urgent as we expected it to be. My partner, Pete Huebner, appeared for the client in the original hearing as the lead attorney in this matter. He's unavailable today. And so what we'd request is that Your Honor grant us at the next hearing date for the agenda for the magistrate an opportunity to present a legal argument for reconsideration of the magistrate's ruling. We're not asking for a new evidentiary hearing, but reading the transcript of what transpired, as the magistrate said, it was somewhat sloppy presentation. And the magistrate actually made several very good points regarding whether adequate notice had been received of the specific nature of the violations and an opportunity to cure by my client. And we would like to, based upon the record that exists, point out to the magistrate that there are some pretty fundamental due process concerns as to the specific nature of the notice provided and whether it was adequate to alert our client as to exactly what they needed to do to come in compliance. With respect to the waiver, because we have not We're going to be eligible for this bike week. We don't need that heard at this time. We have a city staff has recommended approval of the master site plan submitted for 2013 bike week. That goes before the city commission on the 16th, and assuming that they approve it, we would not need a waiver at this time.
Okay, let's back up. What was the date of my order?
December the 12th.
12-12-12. Okay, as I understand it, your client had already submitted an application.
Well before that.
For temporary permits for 2013.
That's correct.
Prior to that.
Different language, not temporary permit, but for master plans.
Right.
And the city attorney has now determined that since that application preceded my order, then this three-year ban that we keep hearing about would not go into effect.
Would apply to applications submitted after 12-12-12.
And the pre-order application for master plan was to enable you to participate.
Basically do the same thing in Bike Week 2013.
So that's the February or March event?
Correct.
So that pre-order application would only address Bike Week
2013.
March 2013.
That's correct. After that date, we would, unless the special master, special magistrate reconsiders its ruling, we would need to obtain a waiver or have it reversed by the circuit court.
Okay. Now, you are here today for what purpose? And I ask that because I know we're meeting on January 27th.
Well, originally we thought that we would be denied and we would need to have a request a waiver today. Okay. That not being the case for Bike Week 2013, we do not need to proceed with respect to the waiver. We have submitted a motion for reconsideration, and we would like to get the approval of the special magistrate that he will hear it at the next meeting. Your argument as to the motion for reconsideration.
Just to clarify, Mr. Rickelge, the special meeting on January 22nd is relative to two other cases. Not this one. Two other appeals for master plan. Two other different buildings cases.
Right, but now this is going to be on there as well.
Not as of now.
If they should be denied at the commission meeting, which is scheduled for
the 16th,
they would have a right, and I guess they'd do on emergency, they'd file and try and be on the 22nd, which I expect they'd be able to be on the meeting for the 22nd mm-hmm. for consideration of waiver. That's generally the way the process is.
Well, we have two things. We filed a motion for reconsideration based on the inherent power. Okay. And just fundamental due process notice issues. We'd like to reexamine the record with Your Honor and ask you to reconsider that. We would schedule that at the next regular meeting in February. As far as the waiver, unless we are denied for some reason on the 16th, at the city commission, and city staff has recommended approval, then we would not need to be on the special meeting in January.
So, as I understand the lay of the land right now, because you had this pre-order application, which covers Bike Week 2013, that you anticipate being approved at the city commission on the 16th, then there's no current or urgency to hear your motion for rehearing.
That's correct, Your Honor.
If they deny that, then you're jumping on January 22nd looking for some relief.
That's correct.
Now, are you at some point anticipating asking me to waive the ban on TPAs, given the existing finding of noncompliance?
I don't think it's TPA. It's outdoor activities.
Okay. Well, at some point, with regard to Section 2.111, and you've probably already heard we've had a little conversation on this, I'm trying to make sure we're all on the same page, and I'm very rapidly coming to the conclusion I'm the only one that's not on the same page. But I consider this something akin to an appeal of the three-year ban, for lack of a better word. And
Mr. Krakowski, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just for clarification, we had this in the proceedings, which is the criteria for the master plan is actually under a separate section. It's pretty much the same language, but just so that the reference would be to Article 2.111 8C3, I believe it is. 8C3.
My understanding is that in order to participate in bike events subsequent to Bike Week 2013, we have three options. One, we can convince the special magistrate to reconsider and withdraw its order issued in December. Two, we can request the special magistrate to grant a waiver. Otherwise, I mean, it is a blanket ban. We are not going to be considered or approved by the city without one of those two occurring, or filing an appeal with the circuit court and the circuit court overturning it. And so the answer to your question is yes, at some point we would anticipate being back in front of you requesting a waiver.
But unless the city commission for some reason denies your master plan application, that won't be January 27th.
That's correct.
All right, then I will leave to you in your capable hands for clients' remedies. All right, now.
Clarification, Mr. Kelvin, and just so the record's clear here, there's motion, they're on for motion for rehearing, motion for reconsideration, and motion for waiver. And I'm sorry, I did not get your name.
Steve.
Oh, as Mr. Garth had indicated, and I've had this conversation as well with thank you, Mr. Huebner, that on the motion for waiver, that it appears not to be ripe because of these changes. Is there, as to the other two portions of that motion, that's what my question is, as to reconsideration or rehearing.
This action to be taken, motion for rehearing, I'm denying, but I want to be very clear, I'm denying it without prejudice, because it's very clear that the parties are anticipating addressing this in other avenues at this point in time. So nothing that's happening today is going to prejudice that.
Well, if I could address that, I mean, as I read the ordinance, we're going to have to come back every time we want to submit an application, we're going to have to obtain a new waiver. Is that the city attorney's opinion, or is one waiver going to suffice for the entire three-year period?
I would liken it more to a course of dealings. The same is true with regard to the appeals for the Bike Week applications. Yes, theoretically, that they come up recurrently after we make an initial determination. And unless circumstances change, we typically do what we did before, if that answers your question.
So if I understand, then we would be back requesting a waiver for every application for the next 3 years.
As long as the city chose, given the lay of the land, to deny it, then yes, your recourse would be back here.
As I read the ordinance, they have no choice but to deny it. I mean, it says they can't approve.
Well, as you've just seen, sometimes things get interpreted in fashions that you might not anticipate. In any event.
So just for clarification, you're denying the motion for rehearing reconsideration?
No, I'm just denying today's application for motion for rehearing, because you're telling me it's not pending right now.
All right.
Because you already have this immediate relief you have.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
Consequently, you're not going to need any review until January 22nd, and that's only if the City Commission doesn't approve your master plan application. Did I say that correctly?
You said that correctly. We would still, regardless of whether we get approved or not,
anticipate somewhere down the road, because you recognize the automatic ban that's in effect. You recognize that at some point you will be coming back, and you want to preserve your right for your rehearing, your reconsideration, and your request for waiver.
Correct.
Okay, now, I'm going to speak. I've been shown this waiver language, okay? And if and when I see you gentlemen again, and we're having this conversation, you've already heard me mention to the first case that if you're going to come in here and talk about financial hardship, that I'm going to want to see detailed information as opposed to the, you know, the usual sympathetic arguments. And now you should also be alerted to the fact that the city is taking the position or interpreting section 2.111. This is the very band that we're talking about here. They're taking the position that financial hardship does not come into consideration when I am to consider a waiver. I don't know that I agree with that. I'm reading it. I'm reading the same words they are. I understand how they come up with their interpretation. But when I see the phrase, the gravity of the violation, gravity to me sounds like a relative term, and I can't help but include the financial component of that when it comes to consideration of gravity. So I'm speaking out loud here for the benefit of both parties so that if and when we reconvene, I'm going to let you know what I'm going to expect both of you to speak to. Okay, because I understand this could be a very important event for the respondent. I understand the city has put a lot of time and effort into this legislation, and they would like it enforced. I understand all of that. And so, consequently, I'm being a little, and maybe I'm being presumptuous, because you're all capable counsel, but I'm going to want both of you to speak to what is meant by the gravity of the violation and what you think it would encompass. And if any of you are of the opinion that the financial circumstances are part of that formula, then I'm going to expect detailed information regarding the nature of the financial impact.
Understood.
Very good. Okay, that's for another day. All right, good luck to you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, do we have any other business to be brought before the special magistrate? If not, return.